Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real as Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Paige Yates
and Taylor Yates.
And in this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team.
How you doing, Mom?
Good, thanks, T. How about you?
Good. Anything new?
Well, I have to reconfirm for all those people out there that are grandparents that it is by far the best job in the whole world.
Yeah.
And I just want to say what a fun time I had with my three-year-old granddaughter, Josie, because she had a day off from school.
What'd you guys do?
I don't know where to start. We were everywhere. We went to get a croissant. We went to Build-A-Bear.
What'd you guys build?
Which I hadn't built, been there in a long time. I would say I didn't realize how quickly it was done.
Yeah.
I thought it would be a longer process.
Yeah, you thought it'd be more sewing or something like that. Yeah.
Somehow I thought it was going to take longer, but it didn't. But it was cute. But most importantly, we went to the Discovery Museum in Acton for little kids. And she knew her way around there because she'd been going for so many years. And we went to every room. The most intriguing part was one of her favorite spots was they put together like a dance floor and they have little kids put on socks and they slide all over the dance floor. She thought that was great. Yeah. Anyway, we had a great time and it was really fun. I feel blessed that I got to have that opportunity.
Yeah, it's a fabulous museum. She's a spicy little girl.
She's got a really good personality. She's not... She's definitely a little bit middle child because she's not like jumping in. She always observes first, takes a little bit of an in, and then chooses to enter when she's comfortable, which I think is admirable.
Yeah. Oh, that's great to hear.
Yeah.
Well, this month, we're going to be talking about historic homes. And this week, we're going to start talking about like what to know before you buy a historic home. So maybe just start with, like, what do you think draws people to historic homes?
So I think it's very much people that are into historic homes are truly into it.
Yeah.
You can't convince
them. Maybe people who are into history are into historic homes?
Well, or who've come from the South and value charm and detail and high ceilings and dental molding all around the fireplace, who are kind of used to that kind of detail in a home. You know, people from California who've coming from more sleek homes. I feel like someone who's come from a community like in the South where they have older homes or cities where there are a lot of older homes, like in Chicago, there's sections that, you know, a lot of brick and stone. So I think...
So you're saying it's basically what'd you grow up with?
I think a lot of it has to do with what you grow up with and what you value.
I would add to that, there are certain things that money can't buy, so to speak. Like you can't like take an empty lot and build a historic home on it, right? You have to like find one. And so, you know, it's like you can't like create it with enough money. You can buy it with enough money, I guess. But like, and I think some people value that. They value like a story in their house or in like a room in their house. And if you think about your houses are places like where you entertain and engage with people, like having that kind of stuff to talk about kind of says something about you, enriches your relationships with people. It just adds some interest to a home.
And I think oftentimes in historic homes, people who are looking at them value craftsmanship because that doesn't always exist.
Some things they just don't make them like they used to.
Right. So I think people look around and go, oh, wow, look at that. And, you know, they appreciate that someone's hand-carved a banister or something like that.
Yeah. Carpentry is something that is really, really different between a new home and a historic home.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but people just really stopped doing detailed carpentry at some point in, like, maybe the middle of the 20th century. And it is where I see it is either in a historic home or when somebody has salvaged something. Right?
Sure.
And even like I'm kind of a minimalist guy, but I like an accent with like really detailed like floral carpentry. I think it looks really nice. And I think it, you know, again, it just adds something to like look at in your home and notice something new each time you go by it.
I think too, we see in historic homes, the situation where a home and the craftsmen that work on the home were craftsmen, and then it morphed into more of a business, yeah. You know, time plus money,
right?
So you're trying to get something, and the craftsmen who used to be, have pride in that don't, the time and money don't equal each other anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it got commoditized,
yeah.
Right? So, you know, back in the day when like, if you were a carpenter, you'd spent years honing your craft and you kind of like could make a good living on those years of mastery. Yeah, it made sense that you'd see more of these, more output from craftsmen. But once you start, you know, once it becomes much cheaper to get like maybe almost as good or like, you know, kind of good, how do you make a living on being a carpenter?
Well, when you can buy dental molding at Home Depot.
Yeah.
It changes the look and the vibe of building.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Cool. So what do you think some of the biggest challenges buyers should anticipate when buying a historic home?
So I think you have to be very careful because every town has certain laws around historic houses.
Yeah.
So you have to first and foremost know whether or not it's considered a registered historic home.
Yeah.
There is a historic registry, and if you're on that, you definitely are limited to doing certain things to the home.
Mm-hmm.
I think in some towns, it's a house that's built prior to a certain year.
Mm-hmm.
It throws you into things like restricted demolition delays,
yeah.
Approval from different committees like the historic, ZBA.
Yeah, you're just working on this in Belmont because we're looking at Belmont Center, which has a lot of historic buildings in it. And we're looking at like, hey, how do we add stuff to Belmont Center? And, you know, we had to go through this whole list of like, what here is actually historic? There's some buildings that are pretty dumpy and not historic in Belmont Center. So like, okay, well, maybe we can get rid of those. But yeah, there's a difference between historic and historical, right? So there are some things that are on these lists that come with a lot of red tape, a lot of bureaucracy, and you got to be ready to navigate that and potentially not successfully make it through.
Right. I think people don't even think about the simplest one, which is paint colors, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you're on the historic registry, and there are places around Boston that are, mm-hmm. you know, all of a sudden, you know, you can't paint a house.
A certain color, yeah.
A certain color. And people don't think of that necessarily when they're taking a project on.
Yeah.
So you really have to know the town guidelines, the historic guidelines, and certainly before you get into just before you even start the project, because there could be ZBA restrictions because the house is put on the wrong place in the lot. So
yeah.
Whatever you do, they're going to tell you what to do. Or it's built before a certain year and they're going to have input into whether or not you have windows with lead windows or, oh no, that's not historically to the time period.
Right.
So there are a lot of, I think the town education, knowing the town bylaws and education historic rules is definitely the first thing you need to do.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll get a question from the audience. Did you know that Paige and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs too. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today. All right. So, Mom, what's the best piece of advice you'd give to someone considering buying a historic home? One piece of advice.
Have a very deep pocketbook.
Yeah, because you're either going to spend a lot of money on the house when you buy it or when you renovate it, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So that was my piece of advice.
Got it, yeah.
But I do yeah. think it's important because there's always unknowns.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for the awesome question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yates Team Boston.
That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you like this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston or on the web at yatesboston.com.